Okay, so let's unpack this. We've got some really extraordinary source material today.
Absolutely.
We're diving into this governance plan. It's part technical blueprint, part legal thing, but also it feels like a really profound mission statement.
Yeah.
It's called the Ternary Moral Logic Succession Plan, TML, and it's written by an independent researcher who's facing a terminal diagnosis.
And that personal mandate is what gives this whole thing such urgency. You know, it's not just theory.
Right.
It's a very practical, like, 180-day transition plan. The goal is this decentralized, ethical AI framework that has to keep working, enforcing its rules long after the creator is gone.
Because the usual accountability just fails when these autonomous systems cause harm.
Totally fails, especially with unforeseen systemic harm. So TML is trying to get ahead of it. It's aiming for prior restraint.
Stopping harm before it happens.
Exactly. And pairing that with mandatory, completely immutable auditing.
Okay, so how does the architecture actually guarantee that transparency? How does it work?
Well, it really starts with this core idea, the always memory architecture.
Always memory.
Yeah. The rule is basically no memory, no action. Simple as that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Every significant automated step has to create a pre-action log first. An immutable log.
Okay, immutable log. Where does it live?
It's not just local. It gets cryptographically anchored to public blockchains. Plural.
Plural, like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Polygon. That seems like overkill. Why more than one?
Well, think about it. If this is an essential public good, you need serious robustness, right?
Uh-huh.
Anchoring across multiple different chains gives you distributed, irreversible proof. It protects against one chain failing or being compromised or captured somehow. It's about making that timestamp truly decentralized and irrefutable.
Ah, I see. So that pre-action log is the key. It allows the system to predict.
Precisely. It acts as this live data set. The framework can run prediction models before the action actually executes. That's how the enforcement becomes proactive, not reactive.
And that predictive ability leads us to the fail-safe you mentioned, the sacred zero.
Exactly. Sacred zero. It's the mechanism that automatically halts any process if it's predicted to violate one of the core protection documents.
And there are 66 of those? That's a lot.
It is. And we should pause on that. It's not just like a vague mission statement. This is actual codified governance. It includes 26 major international human rights treaties, the UDHR, for example, and over 20 big international environmental agreements, like the Paris Agreement.
Okay, hold on. How does a smart contract understand something as complex as the Universal Declaration of Human Rights? That seems like a huge leap.
That's the challenge, right? The researcher worked on creating highly formalized, machine-readable versions of these treaties, specific measurable thresholds for potential harm.
So if a threshold is crossed,
the halt is immediate. Then the smart contracts kick in as the legal layer. They handle penalties, sure, but also trigger automated compensation for victims using that log data.
Okay, technically it sounds locked down. Code, crypto anchors. But the politics, the handoff, that's always tricky. How do you stop it from being captured?
That's where the Decentralized Stewardship Council comes in. It's designed specifically to prevent capture by making it a multi-organization body.
So no single group has control.
Correct. And the roles are really specific, non-overlapping. The plan suggests types like the EFF, maybe as the technical custodian, Amnesty International for human rights enforcement, maybe the Indigenous Environmental Network for earth protection, and like MIT Media Lab for AI ethics research. Different roles, different orgs.
Keeps any one interest group from dominating.
Exactly.
And the money. The penalties collected, they go into this memorial fund. The allocation seems, well, very specific.
And personal.
It really is. And these percentages are hard-coded into the smart contract. Can't be changed. 40% goes directly to victims of the harm.
40%? Wow.
30% goes to environmental restoration.
Yeah.
So it directly funds the protections laid out in those documents.
Makes sense.
Then there's 15% for whistleblowers, incentivizing transparency. And the final 15%, that's split between operations and computational cancer research.
A very personal touch embedded right into the code. Deeply personal. Yeah. It becomes part of this public utilities DNA.
So the council oversees this, but what can they actually change? Are there limits?
Oh, big time. Their power is very constrained. They cannot touch the open source MIT license. They cannot change those memorial fund percentages. And they absolutely cannot remove any of the 66 core protection documents.
So they're more like guardians than governors?
Yeah. Think constitutional watchdogs.
Yeah.
any major structural change needs a supermajority, like 56 consensus. Mm-hmm. The core ethics are designed to be almost immutable.
So what we've really detailed here is this clear 180-day plan. It's designed so this critical tech can actually last, independent of its creator.
Right. And this TML framework, it offers a model. It's transparent, it's enforceable, it seems really durable for algorithmic accountability.
Mm-hmm.
For you listening, it's more than just a story about AI governance. It's maybe a prototype for how we can build foundational digital rules that actually stick, you know, designed to resist the pressures that usually water down ethical goals over time.
The author's final words on it were, "The framework remembers so that justice can see," which really leaves us with a question for you to think about. Could these kinds of on-chain immutable rules enforced by code, cryptographically secured, could that be the only realistic way to guarantee ethical behavior from powerful AI in the long run?